minutes ago. I'm looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no.
Amateur Traveler, episode 773. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about lakes and mountains, wine and cheese, castles, and Charlie Chaplin as we go to Montreux and the Swiss Riviera. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Switzerland. I'd like to welcome to the show Chantal Patton, who has come from growingupwithoutborders.com, who's come to talk to us about the Swiss Riviera. Chantal, welcome to Amateur Traveler.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to share with everyone this beautiful area of the world because it's absolutely gorgeous and breathtaking.
Well, and you're going to have to put it on a map for people because this is not a term that I was familiar with in terms of the what is the Swiss Riviera.
Okay, well, we often hear of the French Riviera, mm-hmm. and the Swiss Riviera is just at the French border. So if you pinpoint Switzerland on a map, just for those who don't maybe know where it is exactly, it's in between France, Italy, Liechtenstein, Austria, and Germany. So it borders many of those countries. And inside of Switzerland itself, there's the different areas. And if you're talking about the French area, everyone hears often about Geneva and Lake Geneva. The Swiss Riviera is that beautiful area along Lake Geneva going over towards what they call the Valais area. So that whole area there is called the Swiss Riviera along Lake Geneva.
Excellent. And what is your connection with Switzerland?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my bloodline, actually, my dad is Swiss. So my very first trip to Switzerland was when I was 9 years old. And of course, I heard about Switzerland on a daily inside my house. My dad always talked about how beautiful the country was and so on and so forth. And so my very first impressions when I was 9 years old was just absolutely amazing. And it opened up a whole travel bug in me and this wanting to discover the world and discover all these beautiful places. And so I had grown up knowing about it. And then I went back on a trip when I was 15 with one of my girlfriends. And then I ended up living there for 4 years, from 16 to 20, basically. So I know the area quite well. And after that, I went home, got married, had 3 kids, and I had not gone back to that area until 2013. And in 2013, my husband and I, our 3 kids, we were living in Florida at the time, we decided to go on a 5-week trip to Europe. And we just absolutely fell in love with being in Europe and just everything about it. So we decided, since I have dual citizenship, to give it a try and go live there. So that's actually what we call home right now. That is our base, even though we're hardly ever there. And so I know it in and out, and I could go on and on about how beautiful it is. And I can't wait to dig deep and tell you all about it.
Excellent. Well, why should someone go to the Swiss Riviera?
Well, you know what? It's often a place that is sometimes missed. A lot of people go to the Swiss German area and they go see maybe Interlaken or Luzern or Mount Pilates, or they maybe even fly into Geneva but don't really fully go around the lake and discover the beauty. So for me, it's still a little bit of a hidden gem, although it is known. I mean, a lot of people have gone, but it's not where all the buses go to, all the tourist bus. So I'm going to give you a deep in-depth knowledge of where to go and what to see if you can go there. So here we go.
Excellent. Well, where are we going to start?
Okay, well, we're going to start by, if you were flying in, you would probably arrive to the Geneva airport. And first of all, when you're in Switzerland, everything is super simple for transportation. So you don't necessarily have to have a car when you're there if you don't want to rent a car. It is maybe easier if there's a lot of you and you have luggage and all that, but it is so simple. You get off the plane, you literally go down escalators, and underneath the airport is the train station. And within minutes, you're off a plane and onto a train. And then within an hour, you're to, let's say, Montreux or Lausanne is called. So it's going along the lake. And you'll want to arrive if you can. So if you're coming from the United States, you would probably do an overnight flight. So mm-hmm. you can get there in the morning and you get the most breathtaking views in the train line around the lake. It's just amazing. So I would suggest staying in that Montreux area. It's a small, beautiful town of maybe 20,000. And all along the lake, it goes town after town after town. So anywhere in that maybe 10, 15 minute proximity is great to stay. And anywhere you go, you're going to have the most breathtaking views of the French Alps in front of you. You just can't miss them. They're everywhere. So you look outside, you have Lake Geneva, and they call that Lac Léman. It's actually not Lake Geneva, but everyone calls it Lake Geneva. And you look outside and you see where the bottled water Evian is made, and those French Alps right in front of you. So that would be arriving. Sometimes you're a little jet lagged the first day, so maybe just taking it easy. There's walkways all along the waterfront. So you can just go down, get off a train, go check in, and then go for a beautiful stroll. If it's the summer, I would suggest bringing your bathing suits, because there's all these beautiful areas to just stop, enjoy the view, or take a swim even. So I can tell you just a few in case somebody wants to note this down. Basically, if you're in Montreux and you are walking out towards the lake, you just walk to the right along the waterfront, and within 10 minutes, you're at this beautiful beach area that's specifically for people that want to go and have kind of a beach life. They have volleyball nets set up, a little skate park, and this beautiful beachfront with little cafes and stuff like that. Or you can go to the left, and then you can walk in all along the waterfront. They have these little lounge chairs set up on the rocks sometimes even, and they're kind of like hidden behind the rocks, and you can go and just lounge in the sun, take a dip in the water, and it's absolutely gorgeous. If you prefer a pool, they also have pools right beside the waterfront. So again, you can either choose lake or pool, whatever you want. And so it's just absolutely amazing. So yeah, that's what I would suggest as a first day. Just get to know your bearings and enjoy the area. There's cafes and restaurants all along as well. So the options are endless when it comes to being able to eat out. It could be a little pricey, very, very pricey. But when you go to Switzerland, it's one of those countries that you just don't want to think about the money, or just go with like the idea that you're going to splurge. Okay.
Well, we noticed when my daughter decided to study abroad, she decided to study in Geneva, which is, I think, one of the most expensive cities on the planet. So,
yeah. Poor girl.
It's a dirty, thankless job, but somebody's going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just amazing. But here's the thing. So let's say you are on a bit of a budget, but you still want to go. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes along that waterfront, there's these little picnic areas, and they set out these little communal barbecues that people can utilize. Mm-hmm. So you can have a picnic by the water, bring a glass of wine, bring your bottle of wine. That's totally okay to do there, and just enjoy. Oftentimes they'll have music playing down by the waterfront as well. So it's just absolutely gorgeous. And then there's a castle. It's called the Château de Chillon. It is right in between the town or the city of Montreux and Villeneuve, and it's again right along the waterfront. And this castle was the inspiration of the Little Mermaid castle, so it's quite a unique castle to see. And you get really, really stunning pictures of mountains in the distance called Les Dents du Midi. If people are into Instagram and picture taking, it is breathtaking. There's also a beach there. So again, if you wanted to go for a swim, you can swim right there at the castle as well. But you can go inside. There's tours. You can go discover it. And sometimes they even do open nights where they get dressed up in costumes and you have this medieval feel to the whole castle. It's quite interesting and just amazing. So that's one thing I would suggest doing. And then if anyone's into Charlie Chaplin or anything like that, there is a Charlie Chaplin museum right nearby, about a 10-minute drive in the town of Vevey, Switzerland. And that is where there's also the Nestle headquarters. And it's really well done, his whole museum. And he's got these beautiful grounds. And basically, that's where he retired. So that's why they have the Charlie Chaplin Museum and his house and everything like that. But it's a really interesting story, and it's well worth going. It's a good 3-hour museum tour, though, so it almost takes a half a day. So depending on what people enjoy doing, right? Then, of course, you're not going to go to Switzerland without enjoying the trains and the views. So there is a train called the MOB train, M-O-B. And what it is a panoramic viewpoint of the train. So everything is all glass windows up and down, like all around. And it does the switchbacks up the mountain. And it goes over to a place called Château d'Ay and Gstaad. And it is, honestly, the views are like out of this world, and it's absolutely beautiful. And it's just worth just doing a day trip, just enjoying the train and going there and then coming back. I would strongly suggest doing that. And then, well, Chris, you've heard of Gruyère cheese, right?
Sure, certainly.
Yeah. Okay. Have you also heard of the chocolate brand that they make called Cahier?
I wouldn't swear to it.
Okay, so Kaye chocolate is a chocolate that they don't sell to the rest of the world. If you can imagine, they keep it to themselves because it's that good. It's really mean because it is honestly, until you've tried the Kaye chocolate, you can't say you've tried real Swiss chocolate. It is, anyway, it's just amazing. But if you go to this little town where they make the cheese called Gruyère cheese, and I didn't know this before, but apparently this is why Gruyère comes from this town called Gruyère. And that's because the mountains in that area have these special Swiss herbs growing up at the top of the mountains, and the cows go up the mountains and they eat all these herbs. And so when their milk comes out, it has that specific flavor, and that's how they make the cheese. And that's why it comes from that specific area, which is unbelievable.
So that would also imply it's a summer cheese.
Well, okay, so they have millions of dollars of cheese in their mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So they store it all in there. I've been through tours of those. So yeah, even though maybe it's a summer cheese, it's stored all year round.
Sure.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they have the factory, and you can go on a tour and see how it's done. And it's really well done. And then you can walk through the medieval town, which is just up above. They have a castle there as well. And you really have a feeling like you're going 1,000 years back in time. Like you really, you just feel like you're walking down those streets that the people would have walked back then. And it's just magical, really. I don't know how to explain it other than it's beautiful. And everywhere you look around, you have these beautiful green mountains. It's just amazing. So when you're in Gruyère, though, you could do maybe a half a day there, and the other half a day, just a real short drive away, maybe 5 minutes, is the Kaye chocolate factory. And this chocolate factory is like no other. They've made it really like a Disney experience where they have a whole show and you go through a tour. And the best part of all is at the very, very end, they have all the different chocolates on display and you can just sample every single one. So yeah, it's amazing.
Excellent.
Yes. Let me see, what else can you do? So I'm going to give a whole bunch of different ideas. And most people, when you go on a holiday, you don't necessarily want to cram too much in, but you also want to see everything you can possibly see in a short amount of time, right? And everything that I'm suggesting is kind of relaxing and not too crazy and just quite enjoyable. For those who want to do maybe more adventure sports, there are things like paragliding just up on the mountains. There's skiing all around. And one specifically that I would suggest going up another mountain, and here you could ski or you can just go up and enjoy, is called Rocher de Nez. And it's right behind Montreux. And you go up literally an hour train ride up a mountain. So the train literally takes you up all the way. And when you get there, you get out and you walk through this tunnel that's in the mountain, and you get out and there's this restaurant up in the mountains, so high up. And the most beautiful view of all these Swiss Alps and the French Alps is just unbelievable. And usually a typical meal up there is something called raclette. And raclette is this Swiss cheese again. Yeah, you've had it before, right?
Swiss cheese and little else.
Yeah. Did you like raclette cheese the first time you tried it?
Oh, I love raclette. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We had it a number of times when we were in Switzerland.
It's amazing. They have it at every festivity, outdoor event, everywhere you go.
But you have to describe what, you know, we say it's cheese. You have to describe the process by which it ends up on your plate.
Right. Okay. So there's two ways that you would see it. So if you are maybe at a big event, well, it's a circular, big, huge chunk of cheese.
Yeah. It's a wheel, maybe a foot across.
Yes. A foot, at least a foot. And they cut it in half and they put it on this heater, kind of like a holder that holds it, a metal holder. And then on top, it heats the whole top of the cheese. And what you do is you get these little potatoes and they scrape the part of the cheese that's melted on top of your potatoes, and you usually have it with maybe a couple little onions and some pickles, and you eat it, and it is just amazing.
It's basically a meal of cheese.
It is.
with so a few good potatoes and white onions, pearl onions, and pickles. Yeah. If you love cheese, as I do, yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't mind the smell, because if you have raclette at maybe in a home setting or in a restaurant setting, they may serve it to you with a little device that you put your square piece of cheese on a little plate that heats up underneath the little grill, and then you take it out yourself and you scrape it on top of your potatoes with your little wooden spatula, right? But the smell is really strong.
Funny.
Did you find that the first time you had it?
I don't remember noticing that, but I do not have a particularly good sense of smell, as my wife has told me on more than one occasion.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, just a little heads up. So the very first time I had raclette cheese, I was young and we were in Canada, and my dad said, you have to try this. This is Swiss. And it was so bad, the smell. It smelled like dirty, stinky socks. And so at my house, it was like, you eat your meal or you go to bed. Well, I chose to go to bed. I'm like, I'm out of here. And now I love it.
Now, the train that you described behind Montreux, is that going then into the national park that's there?
It's going up to the mountain peak, which is called Rocher de Nez. And along that ride, you can go off and stop at different stops. Mm-hmm. So each area has a beautiful view. Some people choose to even stop partway and then walk down, which you can. You can also take a funicular down. There's all different ways. But yeah, it's up to, I don't know if you call it a national park there, but I think everything's kind of national park, right?
I think actually right there, you're starting to be in the Parc Naturel Régional Grier-Pays-en-Haut.
Pays d'en haut.
Pays d'en haut. Exactly. And pardon my French.
If you're into hiking, what's beautiful about Switzerland is they have the signs everywhere very well indicated, and they give you a good indication for how long it's going to take each step of the way, and you can choose which way to go. And oftentimes, if you're tired or what have you, you can either hitch a ride with a little gondola down, or a train ride, or a funicular down, depending on where you are. So it's kind of a good alternative. As well, when you're walking, let's say just along the lakefront, you can always hop on a bus. Every few minutes, there's a bus or a train. It's very easy to get around. So you don't really have to worry about going far and then getting stuck somewhere. You can even hop on a boat to get back. They have boats all along the lake. So, and mm-hmm. they stop at some of the main different areas. And that leads to my next thing to do, is definitely go enjoy one of the boat rides. So they have these old steamboats that are from, I don't know how many years old, but they run with turning things.
Chris, paddle wheels.
Paddle boat. Paddle wheel boat. That's what it is. It's not a steamboat.
It may also be a steamboat. The steam is the method of generating the energy, and then paddle is how you propel yourself, I guess it would be. So it can be both.
Okay, then it probably is. And this is it. And you can see the paddle turning, and it's very unique. I don't know that I've ever rode in one of those boats before, but you go all along the lake and it stops at all the different main hubs, so you can get off and on, and you can go into France, you can go over to Evian, which I would strongly suggest doing because everybody knows Evian bottled water. Well, you can stop in Evian and go directly to the source of the spring water, fill up your bottle of water, and say you've had Evian water from the source. Which is pretty cool.
Well, and you were mentioning, we didn't quite clarify, that you were looking across at the French Alps. And I'm sure there are a few people who are listening and going, don't you mean the Swiss Alps? Weren't we talking about Switzerland? But the southern half of the lake is France.
That's exactly it. So half of the lake is Switzerland. The other half is France. Every night you get this beautiful sunset going over the French Alps going down. It's absolutely remarkable. And they're very high. And the proximity to the Alps and the lake is quite narrow, so you can see them very well on the other side as well, which just makes for a gorgeous view, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're not that far from, for instance, Mont Blanc. As the crow flies, maybe 40 miles, 50 miles from there.
That's right. That's it. There's Chamonix. I mean, oh my gosh, if you're there in the winter, there's so much skiing to do. Within 30 minutes, you can be at the top of the top ski resorts. There's one specifically called Porte du Soleil, so the doors of the sun. Mm-hmm. And you can go there, and if you really wanted to, you can ski from Switzerland into France and then keep going into Italy. I mean, it's all connected, all those mountain peaks, right at that one unique conjunction, I guess you can call it. So it's quite amazing.
Excellent.
One of the other things you could do, so paragliding, if you're into adventure things, you can paraglide off the mountain right above Villeneuve. They also have events. As soon as Switzerland hits springtime, I like to say there's like this tent that goes over the country, and it's just one huge festivity after the other. It is. It's crazy. A little bit much if you're one of these people that like to be out and about, because it's just constantly something to do, which is great, but you'll find yourself go, go, go and having fun all the time, which is why not, right?
Do you have a favorite event?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have two. So in Montreux, there's two main events that happen each year. One is the Montreux Noël, which is a Christmas market. And this Christmas market sprawls all across the lakefront, and they put up these little wooden huts. And you got to understand that this has a microclimate to it as well, so it doesn't get that cold. Like, it will not snow. It might get down to 30, which is 0 Celsius, but it won't go below that. So even though it's a Christmas market, you have a feel for Christmas, but you're not freezing cold. All along the water, they have these little huts. Some of them have wood fires going inside of them. Others just have little stands of people selling their baked goods and cookies and all these different things. And you can get a glass of hot wine. So they call it vin chaud. It's like a Christmas wine, right?
That's sure.
Heated. Yeah, and it's just magical. So there's that event.
And it's similar to a Glühwein in Germany. It's spiced.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Or you can have a nice beer if you prefer beer, whatever you want. No, it's just, it's quite spectacular, and it's really something to see. So that's nice. And the other thing they have in Montreux, now this goes into the summer months, is the Montreux Jazz. And this is not just jazz music. It's all sorts of music. And it's quite amazing because the whole waterfront turns into different stages. There's stages on the water, restaurants on the water. They literally build out platforms on top of the water, and they have all these different things going on in the parks, and it's just, the whole town is converted into a 21-day, I believe, festival, and it's amazing. They even have free daycare for kids, I think, up to 9. So imagine you're a parent there. Yeah, if you're on vacation, bring your kids to the daycare. They even put them to sleep for you, and it goes till 2 a.m. if you want to leave your kids there that long. Crazy.
I'd have to say the event that I saw that was the most surprising to me was the Freddie Celebration Days.
Freddie Mercury.
Yes. I did not have any association of Freddie Mercury and Montreux.
Yeah, because Freddie Mercury was actually born in Zanzibar. So he was born in Africa. And he retired in Montreux. And a lot of musicians have an affiliation with that Montreux festival, the Montreux Jazz, because it is a smaller festival. And I think a lot of artists, when they come there, they can just be themselves and walk around without maybe the paparazzi or without the attention that you would have in other countries. People don't walk up to you and ask for autographs or anything like that. So people like B.B. King or Carlos Santana, you might just, at the jazz festival when they're there, just see them walking around or playing in little cafes on the, what they call the off jazz. So it's pretty unique. So Freddie Mercury probably enjoyed it there and maybe spent a lot of time. I don't know. But they have a whole memorial for him at the casino and a whole, almost like a Freddie Mercury museum, if you will. So yeah, if you're into him, you can go check that out too.
And apparently there's also a casino.
Yes, there's a casino, beautiful casino right by the water. It has a pool. So if you want to do a little casino and go for a swim in the pool, go for it. Right on the lake. It's gorgeous. Absolutely amazing. And then that brings us into another festival that they have every year. And this is very much all over the Swiss Riviera. They have the Winemakers Festival. And what's unique about this is oftentimes they open up their cellars. So you can go down and again, you feel like you're transported back in time into the winemaking industry with all the barrels of wine. And you're going downstairs into these creepy old cellars that are all beautifully done up and sample wine. And it's just a really unique experience. So I would suggest if you're going there in the fall, it's amazing.
And I don't really know Swiss wine well. My picture is that, for we've talked about it on one of the shows before, that it's predominantly white wine and from the northern edge of the lake.
That's correct. They do a red wine as well, but they're quite known for the white wine. They do have both. I guess when you think of the price of labor, maybe, because Swiss salaries are quite high, I don't think it makes sense for them to export the wine. So that's one of my theories. Or my second theory is that it's really good and just like that Caillé chocolate, they just keep it all to themselves. It's one or the other. But yeah, they have a train. It's not really a train, but it's like kind of like a little mini train. It can take you up through. So in between Montreux, Lausanne, there's this whole area and it's only vineyards and you can't build on that land. So it's really the whole side of the mountain hill or whatever you would call that is all beautiful vineyards. And this little train can take you through the vineyards and you can try and sample some of the wines as you go through and they tell you the history. And it's quite a really neat thing to do. I would suggest too, and this is one of the stops they don't do, but after your little train ride, if you do that, you can stop at this one place called Le Deck. So the deck, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a really unique perspective of the whole lake. So you see both sides, if you will, and you get a most panoramic view. And I've traveled a lot. Like I've been to 100 countries, so I've seen a lot of countries. And I think, in my own personal opinion, it is one of the most spectacular views you will ever see in a lifetime. It's so beautiful, and it's just magical. You have to do that.
And I think these are the Louvaux wine terraces that are a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Am I in the right place?
You're exactly right. Okay. I might not have said the Louvaux. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a World UNESCO Heritage Site.
Well, and they came up, this is not our first episode on Switzerland, as you might not be surprised since we've been around for 16 years. We did one specifically on all the UNESCO World Heritage sites in Switzerland, and that's where I know we talked about it. And then we also have other shows on both the German part, for instance, that you mentioned, as well as Geneva.
Right. So then, yeah, you know exactly where it is and what I'm talking about. It's really nice. Did anyone ever mention on your show before some of the hot springs in the area there to go do?
I don't think so.
No. Let me describe them because I've been to hot springs as well in different countries, but I'll just explain some of the differences of these ones versus some of the others I've been to. Mm-hmm. So one in particular that I really enjoyed, it's called Laver les Bains. So baths, lave the baths, if you will. And it's quite big when you go there. You usually buy a pass for maybe 3 or 4 hours, what have you. And you go in and of course there's all the thermal area. So it's all geothermal and then you get the jets. There's beautiful jets, but they have these really unique pools and rooms inside. And one of them is a floating pool where you go and float and your head goes into the water and it plays dolphin sounds. So it's a unique experience. It's like, okay. Oh, I feel like they're transported away. Yeah, exactly.
From the native dolphins of Lake Geneva, of course.
Exactly, right? And then what you can do is, of course, they have saunas and what they call hammams or whatever they call those rooms, steam rooms, steam baths, eucalyptus ones, and this one and that one. But then they have these other rooms that are like what's called a light room. And so every maybe 10, 15 minutes you go in, the door shuts, and then it transports you and you lie down in these kind of reclining chairs and they play music and light therapy. And so it's a really just unique experience because you go from the hot pools, the cold to relaxation, and you do this like over and over again. It's just very therapeutic and just beautiful. So yeah, I would strongly suggest doing that if you have never been to thermal baths before. It's just amazing. Oh, another fun thing to do. So if you go over towards what's called the Valais, there's one area that you can go all the way up to the top. I mean, every mountain peak pretty much in Switzerland, you can go up to the top and almost all of them have restaurants, and it's that in itself is quite unique. But this one here, you can go up and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it takes maybe 2 or 3 big gondola rides to go up to the top, and you can go up to 3,000 meters. I work in meters, so I don't know what that is in feet.
Roughly 3 times.
Okay, is that how it goes? Okay, so it's quite high. And up there, they have the restaurant and they have a little bit of a theater room and such. But what's really unique is this mountain coaster. So you can take a mountain coaster, it's I think the highest one in the world, and go down the mountain. Like, it's not really a roller coaster, it's a mountain coaster. So you're strapped into a little seat and you go down. Anyway, it's just really cool. It's a glacier, so you can ski quite late in the season as well if you're into skiing right on that glacier. So it's just really unique. And that's called Les Diablerets 3000.
Okay. Now, just in terms of mountain coasters, so it has a small cart with like 2 to 4 people and rails like a roller coaster, but it goes downhill.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have a child, you would sit just you and a child. So it's only for one person usually.
Okay.
And you do have a brake, usually, I think in the middle or to the sides, that you can pull on to slow yourself down or let yourself go. And it's just on a track. And yeah, it goes down the mountain and kind of swerves down. And then it brings you all the way back up. So Yeah, it's a kind of cool experience to do.
I've done a toboggan down the hill, but I haven't really seen alpine coasters like this. Interesting.
Have you done it like toboggan on snow, you mean?
No, in a metal trough, like down from the Great Wall of China at one of the popular places. You can take the toboggan down where you're in a single person cart with a brake, similar sort of thing, except that you're just in a trough with wheels on the bottom of your sled.
Okay.
But that is not Switzerland, so we'll talk about that elsewhere.
So it sounds very similar anyways to what you're talking about. But yeah, I mean, when you go to Switzerland, it's known for its beauty. Obviously, it could be considered one of the most prettiest countries in the world. But of course, its beauty comes at a high price. So to be expected when you go there, nothing is what you would consider affordable unless you are super wealthy. So that is one thing to keep in mind. But if you can, or if you want to splurge and go all out, definitely by all means. I would strongly suggest all those different kind of attractions and activities that I mentioned.
And then I think that coaster now, it is called the Glacier 3000 Mountain Coaster, if I'm seeing it correctly.
Oh, yes, that's it. The Glacier 3000. Yeah.
And then when you talk about the valley, I'm assuming that's the part of the flatland that goes sort of between Montreux and up to Bern, kind of up to the northeast of the lake.
No, so I'm probably saying it incorrectly. Valais, so it's V-A-L-A-I-S. It's going actually towards what they would say Martigny, actually towards if you're going down towards Italy, and then it kind of veers over. That whole area is called the Valais, and just in and around maybe like 20 minutes at the most, you're at some of the really cool mountain areas. So you have that Glacier 3000, which is in place called Les Diablerets, you have Les Ans, which is good for skiing, you have Verbier, which is very kind of well known for the English tourists from the UK, Villars, so there's quite a few different ones that you can get to, all within maybe 30, 40 minutes from that Montreux area.
Okay, if you're heading then that direction, then ignore what I said about Glacier 3000, you're probably talking about a different one.
So. No, that's exactly it. Glacier 3000, good. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, if you wanted to venture out a little bit further, if you have maybe a little bit more time and you're going for, let's say, a week and a half and you have a little bit more time, if you wanted to go a little bit further, I'm talking only 2 hours, so it's not so big of a deal, but you can go all the way to Zermatt. That's a really unique town in itself, but it's not the Swiss Riviera, so I don't know if you want me to talk about that at all, but it's kind of a cool trip too.
Sure, let's talk about that as a side trip, because I'm not sure when we're going to talk about Zermatt, mostly known for a well-known mountain near there.
Yes, Zermatt, if people don't know yet, if anyone has seen the chocolate called the Toblerone chocolate, on that chocolate bar is the Matterhorn Mountain, and the Matterhorn is in Zermatt, and it is, I don't know how high up it is, but people actually do climb it still. You can stay up in a hut and climb the mountain if you want, which is extremely crazy. But when you get to Zermatt, it's a pedestrian-only town, and it's a typical Swiss village where you're going to see people playing those longhorns. And the longhorns are these instruments that are maybe like 3-4 meters, right, I would say. And they blow on them. And it used to be back in the day when there was no telephones or anything like that, they would blow those horns so that one mountain peak to the other mountain peak could hear for a wedding or a funeral or an emergency or things like that. That's how they used to communicate. Well, now they play them and it's this beautiful song that comes out of there. But you'll see that. And it's just a typical Swiss village with the beautiful Matterhorn. You can go all the way up the mountain, the Gornergrat, there's one side, and then the Klein Matterhorn. So it's absolutely stunning. Go enjoy a Swiss fondue. We're talking about cheese. Enjoy a Swiss fondue while you're there. And it's a really nice little trip aside from that Swiss Riviera if you wanted to do a unique Swiss German experience. So, yeah.
Well, when you mentioned you didn't know how tall it is, so it's 4478 meters or between 14 and 15,000 feet. And unlike the Matterhorn in Disneyland, this one does not have a basketball court at the top.
So. I didn't know the one at Disney has a
hidden basketball court only for employees. So.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's funny.
So far as I know, this one does not have that.
No, definitely not. And it's much higher.
Yes. Excellent. Anything else we want to cover about the area before we start to do some of our wrap-up questions?
I think that's about it.
Okay. In terms of places to stay, did you have any particular recommendations across different budgets?
Yeah. So, of course, you can go anywhere from 5-star and enjoy the ultra luxe deluxe if you want, or you can just hop on Airbnb and find different Airbnbs in the area. There's lots of availability.
If budget wasn't a limitation, where would you send me?
If you could stay anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay. The Montreux Palace, which is a palace hotel. It's okay. Absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, if you could stay there, wow, that'd be amazing.
And that's where you stay every time, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's like my second home, right? Oh dear. It's funny. Yeah, a brunch, let's say at the Royal Palace, that's another hotel there. Sorry, the Royal Plaza Hotel. I think their brunch runs for about maybe 60, 70 euros each, just to give you an idea for pricing.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Airbnb sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then lastly, I mean, if you're on an ultra budget and you want to see Switzerland in style, go sign up for Home Exchange or Love Home Swap or any of these sites where you can list your home and then trade. Just do trades and you're staying in beautiful homes right with the locals.
Excellent. And then in terms of food, we mentioned raclette. Are there any other restaurants or particular dishes you want to recommend?
Ooh, in the area, there's quite a bit of different variety of foods. So You can do anything from Indian to takeaway. There's not many fast foods like you have in the US, of course, but they have even now burritos. That's something still fairly new within the last few years. But yeah, all different types of food that you can enjoy in the area. Really, it's unlimited.
Favorite restaurant for the family? Where do the kids like to go?
Well, we like the views. So I always go for a view because You can get good food anywhere. And in Villeneuve is right past Montreux. And that's where you have the most stunning sunsets. And you have these restaurants right out on top of the water. So their terrace, where you sit down to eat, is on the water. And it's absolutely gorgeous. So there is one in Villeneuve. If you go there, there's a couple restaurants like that to enjoy. So that's what I would suggest.
Excellent. Are we ready for our wrap-up questions?
Sure.
You are standing in the prettiest spot in the Swiss Riviera. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'm standing in between Montreux on the waterfront. I'm looking at the mountain peaks, which are called the Dent du Midi, and I'm just enjoying the view of the lake.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in this part of Switzerland.
Only in this part of Switzerland could you go up the mountain and pay 8 francs for a bottle of water. You gotta laugh about it.
And if you had to summarize the Swiss Riviera in just 3 words, what 3 words are you going to choose?
Most picturesque views. Breathtaking views. Breathtaking picturesque views. There you go.
Okay. Excellent. Our guest again is Chantal Patton from growingupwithoutborders.com. And the Growing Up Without Borders would be your 3 kids who are growing up without borders because they're on the road.
That's correct. That's exactly it.
And so if people want to read more about a nomad lifestyle, I would send you there. But if we want to read more about Switzerland, where are we going to send people?
Well, we created many videos on Switzerland on our YouTube channel. So It's also Growing Up Without Borders. And that's where I would send you guys on different playlists on our YouTube channel.
Got a favorite Swiss video from this area?
Oh, well, then Zermatt, because it is really unique.
Okay, excellent. I'll put a link to that one.
Cool. Well, if you want to do Swiss Riviera, how about we do maybe Montreux, just so that's what we're talking about, or Villeneuve. I'll send you a link.
Okay, I'll put it in the show notes.
Awesome.
Chantal, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for this corner of Switzerland.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It was awesome.
Thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show, getting the show a little early and getting on a monthly Zoom call with me and also getting first shot at any Amateur Traveler trips, then go to Patreon.com/amateur traveler. I'm going to end this show here because the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, who are my team, are in the playoffs, and I'm actually recording this while they're playing, hopefully, a deciding game against the Dodgers. So with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.